Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson from the Order for Evening Prayer from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These reflections are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd Reformed Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas.
Today is Thursday of the first Sunday after the Epiphany. The lesson is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12.
And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days.
As we proceed through the season of Epiphany this year, it's good for us to rehearse the origin and themes of the season. Epiphany comes from a Greek word which means to appear or reveal. Epiphany is one of the earliest of Christian holy days and dates from the 2nd century in its earliest form. The ancients believed that January 6th was the winter solstice, that time when the days of the year began becoming longer, in other words, when the sun was beginning to ascend again. Various religions associated this with the sun god. This time of year was also tied in with pagan rituals of spring purification, so it became a day for baptism and a day when water was consecrated when common water was made into holy water. This theme of God using water, one of the most common substances on earth, to show God's power, is true not only in baptism, but here in Jesus' first miracle, the transformation of the water into wine. Through the common substance of water, God teaches us about himself and his loving plan for us. Through water, God makes a series of startling revelations to us. In this miracle, God reveals himself to man as a God who speaks and who cares. When we understand the fundamental theme of Epiphany, which is God revealing himself to man, then we can see that all of life is, in a sense, one great Epiphany. God's revelation of himself in his holy word is progressive. God revealed himself first through his line of chosen men from Adam and Noah, and then through Abraham and the patriarchs and the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ himself is, of course, the most perfect revelation, but God continues to reveal himself through his people, the church, as they abide in his word. Creation itself also reveals God to us. The very fact that there is a universe, which is such as this universe, demonstrates to all that there is a God and who he is. As Psalm 19 says, The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Even history teaches us that there is a God. The unveiling of his plan in time also instructs us about his nature and will. In fact, since everything that exists was created by God, it all in a way reveals him. God's work is his Epiphany. This particular miracle of the water and wine also reveals that Jesus Christ is the Lord God. In due time, it was revealed that it was God himself who was performing the miracle. This Jesus of Nazareth was in fact God Almighty. The impact of the miracle wouldn't have been lost on the Jews of the time. In ancient pagan cultures, there were often gods and religious rituals surrounding wine. For example, Dionysus was the Greek god of wine and nature. The Greek religion was propagated throughout the ancient world, especially by Alexander the Great, so that even Jews would be familiar with some of their gods and practices. In this miracle, Jesus demonstrates that he alone is truly the god of wine and nature. He is superior to Dionysus and every other so-called god of the ancient world. for only God himself could take water and turn it into wine. It's one thing to say that Dionysus, or whoever is the god who gives wine, anyone can say that about their god, and there isn't much you can do to disprove it. But here with this miracle, only Christians can say that their god can make wine out of water before human witnesses. This transformation of the water to the wine, therefore, also reveals that Jesus Christ is Lord of creation. Miracles are commonly defined as God working in ways which are not customary for him, God for a moment transcending the laws he has imposed on his creation. Only the power of God can perform a miracle, and so those who perform them are either God himself or those who are invested by him with his power. Jesus, the Lord of creation, took something very common and made it into something of great value. He took that which covers 70% of Earth's surface and cost us something like 0.5 cents per gallon, and transformed it into something that graces only a fraction of the surface of the earth, and only where men congregate. Jesus, the Word, first took the formless earth, and then transformed it into a more glorified world, and here in this miracle, he took water, and transformed it into a more glorified form of water. Wine and water are basically the same substance, except that wine has color and body and aroma. It is sweet and has flavors, and it makes men feel good and invigorated in a way that water does not. It's like holy water that has been consecrated and given a more noble and special purpose. What's especially amazing to those who don't see the actual transformation, but examine the produce of the miracle, is the kind of wine Jesus created. Normally, at feasts, the wine goes from good to cheap, the wine becoming cheaper as men's minds are addled and care less about the quality of things, whether food or wine or companions. I recently had a fascinating conversation about beer with a former student of mine. Somehow he mentioned that he drank light American beer. I expressed my distaste for American beer, especially light beer, possibly making unflattering comparisons and asking how anyone could possibly like the taste of the stuff, and countered by saying, "Oh, I don't drink it for the taste, I drink it to get intoxicated." "Oh," and I said, "and I drink beer to savor the flavor, so I drink Guinness Stout." The ruler of the feast at once is astonished by the stupidity of the bridegroom. Apparently, he had made a mistake, because here at the end of the feast, instead of breaking out the Thunderbird, he brought out 120 gallons of Dom Pérignon. Whatever else we might say about this first miracle of Jesus, we must also see what St. John wants us to see. John makes it plain by his very own words. "This beginning of miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." First, we see that by this miracle, Jesus manifested forth his glory, a phrase which has Epiphany written all over it. Remember how we said that God reveals himself to us progressively. At the birth of Jesus Christ, there were many remarkable ways in which God revealed the glory of his Son. But there is very little between the birth of Christ and his first miracle. It is only natural, therefore, that after the glory of the Son is revealed in his incarnation during Christmas, comes Epiphany, the next step in the progressive revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. But if we keep reading, we see that God revealed his glory through his Son, that we might believe. So God gives an epiphany of himself too, and the response of man is to believe on him. This is the purpose of this miracle and its meaning. Now we know why this miracle is here. We have seen what God wants us to see about his beloved Son. This miracle not only reveals that Jesus Christ is God and the Lord of creation, but also that he cares enough about his creation to reveal himself that we might believe. Most importantly, God reveals himself through his word and through his miracle that we might be transformed. The point of the miracle of the wedding at Cana isn't that God has come down to make water into wine. It's that God has come down to effect the most dramatic and glorious transformation of all, the transfiguration and glorification of men from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We see symbols of the transfiguration all around us in the church. In Christmas, Epiphany, and Easter, we find the transfiguration of pagan worship of false gods into true worship of the Creator and Transformer. Christianity always triumphs over the pagans. Throughout the Christian year, Christianity took pagan celebrations and transformed them into the worship of the true God. In the Holy Communion, we see a series of spectacular transfigurations, water into wine, wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and the body and blood of Jesus Christ into us and into him. This is the best transformation which God has saved for last, that we are transformed from men fit to be cast out and trampled underground and returned to dust, into those made higher than the angels, and those transformed into the temple of the living God. It is the miracle of the transformation of God into man and man into union with God. This is the greater miracle that we are reminded of today, the daily miracle of God with us.
Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.